Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, and I want to set it up. King David had went from the most tremendous trial in his life, being hunted down like a dog by Saul, to the point that he was so blessed and so full of experiencing prosperity in his life that he became idle. And so King David is on top of his house with nothing to do, unfocused in the midst of prosperity and victory. And he looks over and there's this good-looking, gorgeous woman named Bathsheba. And she's naked and she's taking a shower. Aren't you glad we got indoor plumbing now? And so this good-looking woman, Bathsheba, is over there and she is a knockout. And all of a sudden, David wanted her. And I don't mean like, call me. I'm talking he wanted her. Wanted her, you know. Those goo-goo eyes kind of want. And so he looks at her and he sleeps with her and has a baby that caused him so much pain. And here's a king who had everything, that in the midst of prosperity blew it because there was a kid in the king. All of a sudden, to get out of trouble, David puts her husband, which just so happens to be his best friend, in the line of fire in a war, and he dies. How many of you don't need any friends like that? And Uriah dies, and David works so hard to cover up his mistakes, and then walks into the palace a prophet of God. 2 Samuel 12. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures to get started. Make sure you're taking notes today, because when I put this together and as I put it together, it's going to speak to you about victory in your life. So the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to David. When he arrived, he said to him, and what he did is he told him a story about a guy who cheated another guy out of a lamb, and the guy that cheated the guy out of the lamb was rich, and the guy that got cheated out of the lamb was poor. And so drop down to verse 5. And so when David heard this story, he was mad. The Bible says infuriated with the man. And he said to the prophet, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die because he has done this thing and shown no pity. He must pay 4 lambs for that lamb. And Nathan the prophet looks at David and said, you are the man. You are the man. And this is what the Lord God of Israel says to you, David. I anointed you as king over Israel, and I delivered you from the land of Saul, and I gave you your master's house, and I gave you your master's wives, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that was not enough during this season of favor in your life, had you asked for something else, I would have gave it to you also. So in the midst of favor, I would have given you everything. And then he says, why then have you despised the commandment of the Lord by doing what I consider evil? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife as your own. You murdered him with the Ammonite sword. Now therefore the sword will never leave your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. Now, I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to put this together. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. It says, and then the Lord said to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn over Saul? Since I have rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go, because I'm sending you to the house of Jesse of Bethlehem, because I have selected a king as one of his sons. He's calling a child a king. Now go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Man does not see what the Lord sees. Man does not see what the Lord sees. For man sees what is visible, but the Lord sees his heart. Someone say amen. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. When I was a child, I understood like a child. And when I was a child, I thought like a child. S-U-T. Speak, understood, and think, which is a word for reason at the end. Speak, understood, and think. I thought. S-U-T. Systems under test. Now, let's talk about the familiar problem all of us face. If you believe God has great things in store for your life, say amen. 2 Samuel verses 12, 1 through 10 says that David was in this place where he had immeasurable favor. And then 1 Samuel 16, 1 says that David, when he was a kid, God called him a king. Here he is a kid, and God calls him a king. That's interesting that God calls him a king, because what the problem is in many of our lives is that there is a kid in every king, and there's a king in every kid. There is a kid in every king, and there is a king in every kid. And 1 Samuel 16 says, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the inside. So what's the lessons here? Be very careful and listen very closely this morning. All of us have the propensity for childish behavior as an adult. And we all have the ability to walk in favor after a massive trial or a major tribulation in our life and ruin it because there is a kid in the king. One moment of kiddiness in your life can destroy the king in you. One childish behavior as an adult can destroy the favor on your life. You can be full of prosperity and even at the point in your life where all you had to do is ask God for something else and God said, I would have gave it to you. And then all of a sudden, you act like a child and you see a naked woman on a building that's not yours. And you want what you can't have. And because you have childish behavior, you are impatient. Nobody can tell you anything. You are demanding. You're insensitive. You have poor frustration tolerance. You can't take being told no. You act like a child. You got to have it when you want it. Your whole life is a Burger King slogan. You want it your way. And what's happening is if you're not careful, you will find yourself as a 32-year-old young man married with three children acting like a 10-year-old boy because there is a kid inside the king. And if you're not careful, you may wake up and find yourself at 77 self-medicating you because you cannot feel your emotions because you do not want anything other than immediate gratification. And so you're 77 on the outside, but you're a 9-year-old on the inside. And the truth is, success is harder to handle than failure. And if you're going to do something great with your life, you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to change the way your systems are working. And many of us are 10 on the inside, but we're 50 on the outside. And the systems that we're operating on, how we speak, how we understand, and how we think is still like a child. But God says, you got to be careful because it's the kid in you that will destroy the king in you. Have you ever said, Lord, don't help me, Lord, help, don't let me do something stupid? Have you ever slipped into childish behaviors? Has your king ever struggled with the kid inside of you? You see, maturity is not letting the king or the kid have control. That's what spiritual maturity is. Not letting the kid or the king have control. What do you mean by that? Because a kid that keeps his same way of speech, His same way of understanding, his same way of thoughts, soot, S-U-T, systems under test. A person who does this as a child should do these things as a child. But the Bible says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I understood like a child, and I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the way that a child thinks. I put away the way that a child understands. In case in point, when your parents got divorced, you thought it was your fault. There's power to understanding, and there's detrimental destruction for people who understand in the wrong way. You ever misunderstood someone in a conversation and thought they were attacking you and talking bad about you, and then you went to set the record straight, and you were like Rosanna, Anna Dana in 1977 on Saturday Night Live, and she goes off on a tangent, and then after she realizes she's misunderstood the problem, she goes, oh, never mind. Those systems will destroy you. And so what happens is, because you can look good on the outside, you can have your nails done, you can have your eyebrows waxed, you can wear a pair of $450 Allen Edmonds in this church, and you may be 55 or 13 or 32 or 28, but the truth is you are a four-year-old on the inside, and that's why you cannot keep your marriage going. That is the reason why you cannot keep the same job, because every time somebody tries to discipline you and tell you something for your own good, you throw a temper tantrum and you walk out of the job, and then your wife gets mad at you because you cannot make a living. It is time to grow. I said, God says it is time to grow. You've got to remove the barriers of success that are within you. And so the problem is, number two, it's your wiring. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. How in the world do you get the kid out of the king? How do you get the kid that wants immediate gratification that goes and sleeps with Bathsheba just because he can? How do you get the kid out of you that cannot keep the same job? Because you don't have any self-discipline. How do you get the kid out of you that is destroying the king in you? How do you get the kid out of you that is impatient? How do you get the kid out of you that is passive aggressive and has controlling behavior? Have you ever had someone at a family reunion and you want the plates on the left side and they want the plates on the right side, and doggone it, the plates are going to go on the left side because they can't take the word no? You know what? It's time for your aunt. It's time for her to grow. And how do you grow up? You grow up spiritually through your emotions. And it is the things that you speak, the things that you understand, and the way you understand things, and it is the things that you think or have thought, your reasoning ability. And do you know what happens? If you take childish behavior into a 60-year-old man, you become a narcissist. You're nothing but an infant with blue jeans on. You're an emotional infant. You're passive aggressive. You are controlling in your behavior. You lack empathy. You blame everybody else. You never take responsibility, because there is a kid in you killing the king in you. And if you're ever going to do anything great with your life, you're going to have to deal with the kid that is in you, David, and your behavior and your emotions that are always hijacking your destiny. Is your life not reaching its expected results? Does anyone in here actually feel like you should be further down the road than what you are right now? In your work, or your family, or your job, your marriage, that it should be better than what it is right now? Have you ever felt stuck? Are you being victimized by you? What's stopping you from the favor of God in your life? Let me tell you, the problem is you're ill. I-I-L. Ill. You're ill. Your immature inner life is killing you. Your immature inner life is killing you. And the kid in you is keeping the king in you from the favor God has for you. So when you look at 1 Corinthians 13:11, and you notice where it says, I spoke like a child, I understood like a child, I thought like a child. Systems under test. Let's look at number one, speak. Do you realize what's coming out of your mouth is poisoning your future? Do you realize that the systems under you that are testing you right now for greatness and the favor of God, that you're destroying your potential because you keep telling yourself you're not worth anything? Do you realize that you and that thought that says I'm not good enough, or that thought that says my best days are behind me, not ahead of me, the thoughts that God is mad at me and I've sinned so much there is no future for me? Do you realize that the words that are coming out of your mouth are damning your future? The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so how in the world can you sit there and think that you can speak like a child? How does a child speak like? You ever notice that a child will walk right up to you and interrupt you while you're talking to another adult and is clueless about interrupting you? You ever notice that children speak randomly? They just, some of them never shut up. I mean that with politeness. Do you realize that a child has an opinion of a child, but yet a king has an opinion of a king? And that it's the system of how you speak that's holding you back from the favor of God that is in your life, because you're going around telling yourself, preaching to yourself, teaching yourself. You're saying to yourself, you're not worthy. You're saying to yourself, there is no future. You're saying to yourself, you're not good enough. You're saying to yourself, you're never going to get healed. You're saying to yourself that your marriage isn't going to make it. I want to tell you, it's time in your life to put away childish things and begin to learn how to speak faith over your life. You did not come from a baboon. You did not come from a tree. You did not come from the La Brea tar pits. You came from God. And out of what you came out of is the potential for your existence in this world. God said, let us make man in our image. And you came out of God. So whatever you came out of is the source of your potential. You are the head and not the tail. You have greatness in you, and God has a plan for you that if you will get your systems under control and put away childish things, the devil will not ever be able to convince you of anything other, because there's too many of you walking around and saying, I'm not good enough. My last wife left me. I'm on my fourth marriage. And you turn around as a woman, you say, I've been beat by the first husband, I've been beat by the second husband, and I've been beat by the third husband. I'm not of any value. When you understand what you are and whose you are and who you are in Christ Jesus, you will not let someone abuse you another day in your life. Hey, somebody say amen. It is your speech and the way you understand life that sets you up for success or failure. And what causes your failure is when there's a kid inside your king. You have the judgment of a child, the opinion of a child. When Aiden was about 2 years ago, he's probably five, he thought like a child, he reasoned like a child, he spoke like a child. And he was in front of someone in our family that's really smart about science. And so the person says, when it comes to nuclear physicists and the law of gravity, it actually happens because blah, 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 and this and blah, blah, blah. And Aiden looks at him as a child and says, oh, really? What do you call a three-hump camel? Pregnant. The opinion of a child. The thought processes of a child, Dean. You want to be great? How many of you know God has created you for greatness? Say amen. I'm going to preach this summer and spring until I'm blue in the face. There's destiny in you. You are the head and not the tail. God has victory plan for you. His plans for you is not to harm you, but to do you good. And you are your own worst enemy. But if you ever get your system straight and put away childish things and speak like an adult, I am created in the image of God Almighty. There is purpose and destiny for my life. His plans for me are good and not to harm me. I am the head and not the tail. Nothing by so any means separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. All things are possible to them that love him and believe. Let faith come out of your mouth. I said, let faith come out of your mouth. I said, let faith come out of your mouth. Because it's time to grow. Proverbs 18 to 21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. I'm nobody. I'm not going to make it. I'll never get the job God wants me to have. I'll never have enough of money. The devil is a liar. If you're paying tithes, he'll put a $100 bill in the mouth of a fish or drop it by a crow on his way out to the south. Bible says in Matthew 12, don't be mistaken, because you will be acquitted or condemned by your words. And Ephesians says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. My daughter hates me. She's not saved. She's not coming home. My son is going to have a baby out of wedlock. My husband is having an affair. You be careful. You be careful with the words that are coming out of your mouth. You're speaking life or death. Yes, hyper faith people have abused it. Yes, nuts on television that want $1,000 seed faith offering from you has manipulated that scripture so that they can milk you for every dollar you got. But that doesn't mean it's not the word of the living God. The Bible says that God spoke and the world came into existence. The Bible said that when God spoke, he created a tree, and he spoke and created the earth, and he spoke and he created destiny. It's time you grow up and put away childish things and begin to learn to speak some faith in your life. You got to understand the Greek word means a thought. I have a mindset. It involves my will and my affections and my consciousness. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 7, and all you're getting, you go try to get another boat and you try to get a house at the lake, and there's nothing wrong with these things. The problem is prosperity, if you don't have the right systems, will send your soul to hell. But you do not have to choose between a prosperous life and God. You do have to grow. I understood. You have to realize that when you fail, depravity, man has fallen. That in the midst of that fallen nature, your will fell, and your mind fell, and your conscience fell to the point that it can convict you, according to the Apostle Paul, of things that are not even a sin. But your emotions also fail. And you've got to be very careful here. It says you make sure you understand. That you understand, when you're a child and your parents get a divorce, you think it was your fault. When you've been molested, you think it was your fault. Why? Because you're a child. But when I became a man or a woman, same thing, I put away childish things and I realized it was not my fault. I was a child and did not have the ability to reason and understand harm from someone who should have been protecting me. I just want to please because I'm a child. And if I don't get the kid out of the king, I just want to be pleased. If you don't get the kid out of the king, by the time he gets to be the king or the queen, He'll be a narcissist. You got to understand who you are. With due respect, the reason your last three boyfriends beat you and lowered your self-esteem is because you have not completely understood who you are. Because if you ever understand who you are, you won't let anybody beat you. And if you ever understand who you are, you will not let anyone abuse you. And if you ever understand who you are, the devil can't trick you. Do you think that it's by mistake before the coming of the Son of Man that Satan has placed within the culture of postmodernity the philosophical underpinning that you don't know whether you're a boy or girl by accident? You got to understand that you have greatness. You got to understand that God has a plan for your life. You got to understand that God isn't mad at you. You got to understand that that God has purpose and destiny and favor planned for you. As a matter of fact, if you ever come out of a bad trial like a lot of you have been through last year, the first thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to enter into a season of favor, and the devil's going to try to trick you because he's going to test your systems, and if they're childish in their ways, he'll destroy you in the midst of favor. You can be king and get to the place where you could ask God for anything you wanted within his purpose, and he would have said yes. But because you're full of self-gratification like an infant, because you will not share your toys, because you throw a temper tantrum at work when you don't get your ways and you're working on your fifth job, the kid in you is destroying the king in you. The thoughts. Thinking is so important. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the word thought there is actually the word for reason. It's to count with your mind. It actually is a mathematical term, calculation. And it is a way of calculating. And how you think is so important. If you believe that you're nothing, if you believe that you're never going to amount to a hill of beans, if you believe that you're the tail and not the head, if you believe that God is mad at you, if you believe that you've screwed up, if you believe you're nobody, if you believe you're broke all the time and that you're never going to have enough to pay your bills when you're paying your tithes, you believe that you can't get any better than what you're doing right now, you believe this lie that you are never going to be what you have always dreamt about being, if you believe that you are ugly, if you believe that you're too fat for anybody to love you, if you believe that you're not smart enough, if you believe that you're not strong enough, if you believe all of the lies the devil told you, you're going to behave that way. And if you don't believe me, go to India and watch them train a circus elephant. They'll take that elephant as a baby. And they'll put a stake in the ground and tie it to his leg as they train him to be a circus elephant. And his whole life, he's trained that he cannot break that stake. 3 years later, he's 10 times the size he used to be, but he still doesn't break the stake. You want to know why? He's just like the goldfish that your kids, I think it should be illegal to give goldfish at fairs. They don't do anything but die anyway. But take a goldfish, put them in a bowl, Penny, and live, let them live there. And then you take that goldfish and put them in a lake or a pond or a koi pond in your backyard. And that fish will swim around and around the size of his bowl. You want to know why? Because that elephant has been told to think his whole life he can't do it. That he can't break that chain. And a lot of you are just like that elephant. You think you can't break the chain of addiction. You think your daddy was a whoremonger and your uncle was a whoremonger and your papa was a whoremonger. And so that you are not having the ability to keep your pants on. I got news for you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And there is greatness and there is destiny and there is purpose in your life. And you do not have to live beneath your purpose and your destiny. You think like a goldfish, you think like an elephant, and therefore you act like an elephant. One of my favorite stories is about, I want to go there one day, Andy. It's in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, and there's this inner city school there. And it is in the roughest part of Pittsburgh. I mean, where you don't want to go without help. And so at this school, there are no chains on any doors. There isn't any chains on any doors. And at this school, there's $100,000 pieces of art on the wall. It's one of these special schools where kids have to fill out resumes and apply to. And they apply inner city kids, and they apply rich kids, they apply all kinds of kids, but they get everybody a fighting chance. And the guy that owns it was being interviewed by, I think it was Good Morning America or someone like that, and they said, "You don't have any chains on your door. You have $100,000 pieces of art in a part of the city where everything gets stolen. Your hubcaps are going to be gone when you leave." He said, "How do you do it?" He said, "I learned something about people." He said, "If I treat them like a slave and I treat them like a prisoner and I build an environment like a prisoner, they'll act like a prisoner. But if I teach them the respect and self-dignity and responsibility and I treat them like they're somebody, they'll act like they're somebody." And the problem with too many people in this church right now is you've been believing what other people have said about you. You've been believing what other people have told things about you. You believe what your dad said. He said, "You'll never amount to a hill of beans." You believe what your mom said, that you weren't worthy to be a mother, so she ran off and left you. You believe what teachers said, and they said, "You will never go to college. You'll never be able to make it." I want you to know that failure is wonderful fertilizer, and that you've got something that other people do not have, and that is the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. And if you'll put away childish things, you'll get the kid out of you and turn him into a king. Somebody give God a praise. And this is absolutely fascinating. Could it be the way you speak, understand, and think that is what's stopping you from your destiny? Have you ever been bold enough to ask, "What's in me that isn't working?" Is it possible that it's the systems in you that are stopping you from your greatness? The king in you is being stopped by the kid that refuses to grow up in you. A lot of people are ill. They have immature inner lives. They think, speak, and understand like a child. It's the inner life. The kid that keeps reacting to stimulus. But you've got to put away the kid in you. Let me tell you how, number three. Notice in 1 Corinthians 13 and 11 where it says, "But when I became a man..." Now, this is absolutely fascinating to me. When I became a man, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood like a child, and I thought like a child." Systems under test. "But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things." I put them away. Now please stick with me. Just give me a little bit of time. He didn't say, it's not when I became a man, when I became a king, when I became a queen, when I became someone who lives in my divine destiny and purpose, I was no longer a child. It's not what the scriptures are saying. And it's not when I became a man, I no longer had to put away childish things. It says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I understood like a child, and I thought like a child. And when I became mature, I began to put away childish things." And that word there is telling us what was appropriate when you were a child is no longer appropriate when you're an adult. That you actually are too big for that system. See, you can develop innerly in your inner emotions to a point, and you can develop outwardly, but not inwardly. You can be 77 and still throwing temper tantrums. You can be 28 and still meeting your own needs sexually because you're not mature enough to take the risk for intimacy. You can be 22 and have been spoiled and throw a fit when your parents don't give you the extra $100 when you're not working. The kid in you could destroy the king in you, and you can get to the point where you have developed outwardly, David, but you still are controlled by self-gratification every time you see a Bathsheba. You're waiting on the system to leave. It's not going to leave. It intends on taking root. What system? Speech. I'm not worth anything. Understanding. It was my fault. Thoughts. I'm a loser. You're waiting and thinking that because you're growing up outwardly, that the systems that held you bound when you were a child are going to go away. They're not going to leave. That is why God says through his wisdom to the Apostle Paul, you must put away childish things. And what does that mean? It means that you render it inactive, idle, ineffective. Jeremy, come on up, but don't play yet. It's the same word for when that which is perfect has come, tongues shall cease. You don't need to speak in tongues when you get to heaven because you have direct communication with God. Tongues is a sign for the unbeliever, and it is a prayer language to pray the perfect will of God in intercession for your life. It will be rendered inactive when you get to heaven. It will be idled. It will be ineffective when you get to heaven. So to put away childish things means that your systems have grown emotionally to the point that you speak like an adult, you understand like an adult, and you think like an adult, and you put away the speech of a child that murmurs and never says anything with content, that you put away the understanding of a child that says it's my fault. You put away the thinking of a child that cannot critically think and mathematically add 2 + 2 = 4. That's not my wife. There's danger ahead. That's my best friend's wife, I need to leave. So listen to me, precious people, and I'm not even done yet, but it's a journey, not an event. It is impossible to be spiritually mature and remain emotionally immature. The key to developing emotionally, and you won't find the word emotion in the Bible, you will find the word passion and desire. And the Bible says that to be spiritually mature, you have to control your emotions and master them. So what does it mean to be emotionally immature or to be ill? Emotionally, inner, emotionally inward life doesn't exist. To be emotionally immature means that you have a poor frustration for tolerance. That you can't take frustration. You get frustrated, you either go get higher or you go find somebody to have sex with. To be emotionally immature means you have temper tantrums. You don't get your way, you stomp your foot until you manipulate someone with your anger. It means that you have demanding behavior. Emotionally immature means that you're insensitive to other people, that you lack empathy, that you have a controlling behavior, that you're passive aggressive, that you take everything personally. When you're emotionally immature, you think everybody's out to get you. When you're emotionally immature, you seek immediate gratification. You're unable to stick with anything, and you blame everyone, and you never take responsibility. Nothing is ever your fault. How do you know an emotionally mature human being is that they take responsibility? To be emotionally mature, which is the same thing as being spiritually mature, you have to understand that spiritually mature people still sin. Spiritually mature people still screw up. Spiritually mature people make mistakes. Everybody that wants to be spiritually mature and knows what I'm talking about, say yes. The rest of you liars, don't. I would say yes just so nobody would look at me. Say yes. And so you blame everyone and you yield to temptation. You're constantly complaining. You're impatient and you're needy. Have you ever met someone in your life, maybe an aunt, and they were just so needy and you would say they need to grow up? Have you ever met somebody that just complained and never was happy or grateful and you said they just need to? Have you ever met anybody that was insensitive and acted like a 2-year-old and they were dressed in a 45-year-old woman's body and you said, dadgummit, they just need to. But what does it mean to be emotionally mature? It means you embrace change, uncertainty, and challenges. That when you go through tough times, you've been through enough because you've just been through the worst trials of your life, that it brought out of you this sense that it's going to be okay. And that God's not going to drop me. I don't know how I made it through, but I did. Was there loss? Yes, there was loss. But God's not done with me. And so when you're emotionally mature, you embrace change. You embrace uncertainty. You embrace the challenges in your life. When you're emotionally mature, you live courageously. No matter what life throws at you, you have the ability to stand up and say, you know what, if God delivers me, he does, and if he doesn't, I'll still serve him. When you're emotionally mature, you accept the world for what it is. How many of you know this world screwed up? Say amen. Give me a wave offering if you understand how screwed up this world is. You understand when you're emotionally mature that the world is screwed up, but you make up your mind you're going to try to make it a better place. When you're emotionally mature, you got a plan for your life. Show me someone that doesn't have any goals or visions or plans for your life, and I will show you a person who is spiritually immature. Show me, you emotionally mature means you get along with others, you're empathetic, and you accept other people, and you encourage other people. Show me someone who is not encouraging. Show me someone who is not accepting of other people. Show me someone who has no empathy, and I will show you a 67-year-old narcissist. When you're emotionally mature, you're free of envy and jealousy, and you're sensitive to other people's suffering, and you have self-discipline when you're emotionally mature. When you're emotionally mature, you're positive and you accept responsibility and you're calm and confident and charitable and caring and you're resilient. When you're emotionally mature, you do not let your emotions dictate your day. Now, I got to get this, and Jeremy, we'll be done, but I got to tell you this. Emotions are meant to report to you. Not dictate to you. So when you get up in the morning, the question is, how do you turn a kid into a king? And I'll meet you here next Sunday. But how do you turn a kid into a king? You wake up in the morning and you realize that emotions have fallen, just like your conscience, and they have to be renewed by the word of God. You've got to define your life and your possibilities and your purposes by what God says about you, not how you feel about yourself. Emotions are a gauge, not a guide. I woke up, I went to bed last night, and I was on cloud nine because I had church by myself, and I was so excited about this word because I knew this word was going to help a lot of people in this new series. And I woke up this morning, and I did not feel saved. I didn't feel saved at 6 o'clock in the morning. I felt warm in a cold room with a lot of covers. And I was like a fat rat. I didn't plan on moving. If I let my emotions dictate to me whether I'm going to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, when the rabbis have taught me very clearly in Old Testament and New Testament that my blessings are tied to the Sabbath and my Sabbath is tied to the blessing. I can think like a child and sleep. Or I can get up and ignore the way I'm feeling and make my emotions and my feelings line up with the Word of God. Emotions are meant to report to you, not dictate to you, and they reveal what your heart loves, what it trusts, and what it fears. I'm not good enough. I love golf. Nothing wrong with loving golf. Unless it's Sunday at 9 or 10:45. And I hope your ball goes in the lake. But see, your heart, your emotions, the seat of your intellect will reveal what you trust, what you fear, and what you love. The Psalmist 37 talks about delight. The Paul in Romans 12 and 10 talks about affection. Luke in 12 and 5 speaks of fear. The Psalmist in 37 and 8 speaks of anger. And Psalmist 5 and 11 speaks of joy. Why does the Bible mention so many desires or passions in a human being? It's very simple. Because pleasure is the measure of your treasure. Pleasure is the measure of your treasure. Pleasure is the measure of your treasure. Pleasure as a child is the measure of your treasure. When you put away childish things, pleasure, pleasing God, is the measure of your treasure. So our emotions need mastering. Do you realize? Go ahead, Jeremy. I'm going to meet you right here. Take a sneak peek. Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Just real quick. Cain had let his emotions get the best of him, and he killed Abel. I'll tell you this real quick. I don't mean to... If someone in here is still kin to him, and I think there are, I love him. I continue to pray for him. But I never forget, I got a call one time years ago, and this guy locally, who was a good, hardworking man, snapped, found his wife with another man, and stabbed him to death in the yard. And they said, Pastor Michael, will you go see this guy? So I got permission, got in the jail, and walked into the jail. And they have this room that I was waiting to meet him in, and I could always see him. Same thing happened to me with this little boy back almost 18 years ago. It was on these it's really a form of speed that they sell in these convenience stores, like Yellow Jackets and stuff. And he snapped and shot a guy because he was on like 37 of them. And the mom said, would you go see my son? And I said, of course I'll go see your son. So I too got things ready at that jail, and I walked in, and in both situations, in Kansas City, there was a gang member that I used to work with, and he loved me. Let me tell you, a fake gang member is the ones that are loudmouths, and a real gang member are the ones that are respectful and don't want to cause attention to themselves. He was the real deal. He was in Kansas City in Paseo, Andy, over there in the roughest part of Kansas City, and he had murdered this guy. I think he was a member of the Latin Kings. And they said, I want you to go see him. And so I went to see him. And I was waiting to find a very brutal person, and I was waiting to find an old man full of hate that killed the guy that was hopped up on yellow jackets. And the other one, I was waiting to find some monster. And I was absolutely shocked at what I found. I walked into the room where I thought I was going to meet a monster. And I met a man just like you, with three kids and a dog and a home and a mortgage. That in the moment of passion, the king turned into a kid. I walked into the gang member's cell, and I thought I was going to meet this hard kid, and I met a kid that just wanted a dad. It was so gentle and so sweet and so kind and respectful to me and loved on me and wrote me a letter while he was in prison in Texas, and he never stopped thinking about my relationship with him as a pastor, as a youth pastor. And I met just a kid that was a boy who didn't have a dad. It's gentle. When I walked into the room and I met the boy who had murdered the guy hopped up on yellow jackets, I looked up at the officer and I said, "Sir, that's not who I'm going to see." They said, "Pastor, who do you think you're going to see?" I said, "I'm going to meet the guy that killed the boy down at the lake." He said, "Pastor, that's him." And I walked into the room of a child who talked about comic books and Marvel Comics. And I realized that there was a kid inside of a king. And I realized there was a kid inside of a king. And I realized there was a kid inside of a king. The kid in you will destroy the king in you if you don't put it away. And I'm going to train you, because it will not go away on its own. I'd miss my mother's 100th anniversary before I'd miss the house of God in the next 7 weeks of my life if I were you. Bring your mama and then take her out to eat. Some of you can't afford to miss a message on how you turn a kid into a king. And I want to give an altar call so bad, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give an altar call with you sitting down. And so I want every head bowed. And I'm not going to say every eye closed and no one looking around and then ask you to lift your hands. I'm going to ask you to reflect for a moment. Go ahead and sing, son. What is your speech like?
Worthy of every song I could ever sing.
What are you saying about yourself?
Worthy of every prong I could ever bring.
Are you damning everything
worthy
in your home?
Worthy of every breath we could ever bring. We live for you.
Or are you speaking life? Reflect.
Jesus' name above.
On your ability to understand right now. Your
Jesus,
systems are under test.
Could ever say.
Do you still think
worthy
your mom and dad's divorce was your fault?
We live for you.
Or do you know now that you were just a child and had no control over the free will of two grown adults? What do you understand about yourself? Do you understand the greatness that is in you?
Who you are and fill me.
Or do you understand you're a failure? In
love to those around.
Precious Holy Ghost minister. What are you thinking about? Reflect on it. Do you think your greatest days are behind you? Do you think you're going to go under financially even though you're paying your tithes?
Worthy of every song.
Do you think cancer is going to overtake you?
Worthy
or do you think
that the greatest power in all the world is residing in you. As Timothy says through the Apostle Paul, there's an ignition switch, a fire in you. Oh God, help me light that switch next week.
Jesus, name above.
Are you thinking that you're going to make it? Are you thinking
Jesus, the only one,
the greater
could ever say,
is he who is in you
worthy of
than he who is in the world? Are you thinking that life is wonderful? And that you've been given another chance?
There is no one like
Are you thinking
there is none
that you're going to be more than victorious through Christ who strengthens you? And that you can do all things through Christ? And that
Show
nothing is impossible?
Who you are and fill me
how you speak,
with your heart
how you understand,
and, me
and how you think
in your love.
Is the way you take a kid out of the king. Would you lift your hands and let me bless you? I bless them with the blessings, every male of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I bless every female with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. May the Lord shine his gracious faith upon you. May he prosper you and keep evil from you, because he is the destroyer. That's the actual Hebrew. He is the destroyer of evil in you. You have been made more than a conqueror, and you are a winner, not a loser. Start telling yourself the truth. In Jesus' name, I'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.